Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
In Hebrews 13, it talks about, and I'm just going to make these references to you. I wasn't really going to read the scriptures to you. I was just going to give you a reference. So if you want to turn, you can. But Hebrews, it talks about God never leaving us, get this now, never leaving us, never forsaking us. Okay, Matthew, okay, chapter 2, it talks about when Jesus was born and when he was coming to us, they called him what? Emmanuel, right? Emmanuel, what does it mean? God with us. Philippians chapter 2, Paul goes into a dissertation into his letter, and he starts to write about Jesus taking on likeness of his Father, seeing that he has attained the same level as his Father in heaven, okay? And then it goes that we should be of the same attitude, and it talks about how Jesus took on the attitude of a servant, and the ultimate expression of that is that here is Jesus, the Son of God, with his Father, there from the beginning. And now he takes on human likeness, flesh. Why? Because he was coming to dwell among us. You know, there's something to be said about physical presence. We know that God made us body, soul, and spirit. We know that God is spirit and he is eternal. But there is something about when we are in this relationship of body, soul, and spirit, there is something about physical presence. We live in a society now, that's what this stuff's all about. We live in a society now, and I am not against technology. I told you before, I think texting is from God. Because it forces certain people in my life to get to the point. And it's not like I'm a terribly impatient person. It's, you know, some of you wish I would just text my sermon on Sunday morning, right? Get to the point. Yeah, I know, you know, okay. All right. I just got a bunch of husbands in trouble in this room. Nothing wrong with the texting, nothing wrong with the cell phone, nothing wrong with the computer. Hey, these are neutral things, right? It's what we do with them, right? It's our responsibility. There's nothing evil about the computer, nothing evil about this phone that sends me my emails and my text messages, and it does a bunch of other stuff that I don't know how to do. It does. I mean, it's got, you know, GPS, and there's a thing on here called Market. I can go and get free applications. Darwin, you're calling me. Hello? You hang up on me? I don't hear you. You hung up on me. You hung up on me. I ain't answering your call ever again. That's it. Now, I'm going to tell you something, because this is a great segue into my next thing. Has nothing to do with you, Darwin. Do you know that, yeah, we text in our home, but sometimes to people who are just in another part of the house. Some of you maybe don't have a cell phone, or maybe you're still driving around in your car with the big bag phone. I wonder why it doesn't work. I don't know. you remember those? That was cool. You know, you got this big bag and this phone like that comes off the wall with the spirally cord and the, you know, that was a big deal back then. I remember my friend's dad had one of those. My dad always bought vehicles that said, we don't even want AM radio. No extras. He's here this morning. Okay. He still wouldn't have it, except now, you know, that stand, you have to order it special without a radio. So, yeah, in my house, the culture has come into my home. I'm just telling you that there's even been a couple of times where I was sitting in bed and did not want to move and became that which I hated and called someone who was in another part of my house. I want you to know something. Unless it's an emergency, that is, we don't use the word stupid in my house, but that's just lazy. Okay? Some of you laugh because inside you like conviction right now has hit your soul. This computer, wonderful tool. Okay, I'm pulling up something that I just have started a few weeks ago after resisting, after leading, you know, I don't know. I've had rallies against Facebook. It was a rally of one, but, you know. I finally went on it a few weeks ago and got an account. Right before I came in church, I went to Facebook and changed my status because, you know, there's this thing, if you don't know what Facebook is, don't worry about it. You're going to get just a little taste of it. And I'm not preaching about Facebook. Remember, these scriptures, I didn't leave them. I didn't, like, quote you a few scriptures and then we're going to go do this other stuff. This is very important for us this morning. Facebook is, you have this profile, this page that you can let people know your status. And your status is like, what are you doing right now? Or what are you going to do today? Or what did you just do? And you can even like post pictures and stuff so that people who find you on Facebook, they say, can I see all your stuff? And you say, confirm yes, ignore. I've had people ask that I have no idea who they are. I think they got the wrong guy. Anyhow, I just changed my status before coming into church on purpose. And I already have 5 people, just from when church started to now, 5 people who've commented on my status. These people need to get to church. I don't know what they're doing. And Facebook, you know, I've been on here for 3 weeks, and, you know, because of all the places I've been and stuff, I know a lot of people, but I don't really broadcast as much that I'm on Facebook. I'm telling you because you're like my family. You know, just in a few weeks, I got like 135 people, which isn't a lot. There's people who probably have like thousands. And you know what they call them on here? They call them friends. There's a request that comes when they find you. Say, before they can see all your stuff, is they say, can I be your friend? It's a friend request. And then you say, confirm or ignore. And then you get to share things of your life with your friends. Now I want you to know something about these friends that are on here. These friends, I know them because I didn't accept anybody that either I don't know or they aren't friends of my family, because I've had to go to them and say, I don't know this person. Do you guys know them? They said, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so. Okay, they're safe. And I would take their friendship. Now, here's the reality with these friends. Most of the people on here, and I'm not criticizing them, we call them friends, but if something really serious happened in my life, I don't think they'd come over and take care of my dog so I could go do what I need to do. Okay, I don't think that they come flying in on the drop of a notice to watch my kids if I had some emergency that I had to take care of. Now, I have friends who will do that. Most of them are smart enough not to be on here. Okay. You see, there's something about physical presence. Facebook's great. Technology's great. I'm not a real Facebooker. Is that what you call it? A Facebooker? Facebooker. What's it called? Am I saying it wrong? What? MySpace? MySpace is wherever I'm standing. I never blogged and I never MySpaced. It's just kind of the area I take up. And this is great to, you know, be in touch. We use it like we're in touch. Touch is a physical thing, by the way, and we've taken that word and put it into things like we've communicated on Facebook, so we are in touch with each other. And it's neat and it's fun, and there's nothing wrong with it using the right parameters like anything in our life. But I've watched this happen over years, and part of it was from a personal, I don't think it was really intimidation, it wasn't really a fear, it was just because I would tend to be a little more relational. And activity-based, and Facebook, by the way, is not an activity. I watched it happen in different places where I've worked, and you start communicating by email and sending a notice over to somebody else in another cubicle or another office in the building. And I understand the practice of that. It is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful tool. Don't get me wrong. But we have picked up something that relationship comes to me. My inbox. Boom. You got mail. Okay. Bling. You got a text. Honk, you got a Facebook entry. I'll tell you what, you know, people were having a riot with me on Facebook. Not at my expense, not with me, but at me. Because I had it set up that every time somebody made a comment or liked status or wanted to be friends, that it was set up to set my cell phone off. I had regular calls, text messages, and now Facebook is notifying me. People are saying, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, I understand because others have told me that, but I don't understand how to do it. You know, I couldn't work it. So I opened some bogus email and sent all that stuff there, and I never check it. Kidneys. See. But this whole thing, the wonderful tool and a great way to leave memos and messages and all this instead of, you know, having to actually write it down and, you know, take it to someone's desk and mail it or go talk to somebody. We text from a bedroom to a living room. And I watched it happen over years. And I've said this years ago, you know, it's depersonalizing us. I read things in the scripture like, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Emmanuel, God with us. God present with us. That Jesus taking on human likeness to come and be present. I'll tell you one of the battles in the preacher's home, okay? And it's not like a big battle, but, you know, it's we've had some discussion about this, okay? And, you know, you're talking to your child, and in my house, teenagers, you're talking to them, and while you're talking to them, they're looking at you, and then their phone vibrates. And while I'm talking to them, they do this. And then seconds later, and this is not a complaint against my children right here in front of the church. It's not airing out dirty laundry. My home is not the only home. And I have been out to lunch with some of you. Now I understand when the phone rings and it's an important call. I do things like this. I may glance at it or it's a certain ringtone and I know that it's, you know, my wife or child or the office, and I will say, I need to take this call. Do you mind? And but I've watched this. You know, some of us, we might as well have lunch or breakfast alone. You see, there's something about being all there. Now, your parents are going, yeah, that's right. I hope my child's listening. Listen, it's no different than when they walk into the living room years ago and they're talking to you and you're doing this. Oh, when'd you get here? Okay, it's no different. The gadget changed. Okay? The gadget changed. But when Jesus came, he was all here. Mind, soul, you know, body, spirit. He was all there. Today, we're not all there. We're not always present. There's something about a physical presence, and there's something about being present. There's something about the phone going off, and you just let it go. I said something on my status on Facebook this morning, because on the wall, those of you who are Facebookers, on the wall where you change your status, it says, what's on your mind? I read that question this morning, and I said, what's on my mind? All right, you know what? I'm going to tell people what's on my mind this morning. Some. You only allowed so many words. And so I made a suggestion about going and intentionally seeing someone today. And when you go to see them, leave your cell phone in the car. That we could be totally present for somebody. And maybe it's not the cell phone, and it's not the text message, and it's not that you... This is funny to me. Because I've watched people have TV on their computer, and they're texting on their phone while doing makeup. I wish my son would stop that. No, I'm kidding. Well, right away, they all thought I was talking about other people related to you. But, and we multitask. It's just, I think we as men, we don't, you know, multitask is like one and a half things. You know, there's something about being present. There's something about a physical presence. I want you to know something. Geographically, when you're far away, the Lesters are going to take care of a horse for you kids. That's where they're going. There's something about being present. All present. Clued in to somebody. And it's not, it could be a zillion different things that keep us from being clued in and from being present. And just because you are physically there doesn't mean you're there. Right? I know, because I've done it. I've been there physically, and I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it. And I'll tell you, if this guy and we've all got regrets. If I have some regrets, I'll tell you the thing. One of the things that makes the list is the times where I've not been there. I've been there physically, but I didn't hear for my kids or my wife. I'll tell you, that is on my list. You say, well, that's not a huge crime. We all do that. Yeah, we do, but it's my regrets. Because I've never wanted to be too busy for my kids. And there's times that we all make sacrifices and we understand people are busy, but you know what? There's no excuse for when they're in a room with me and they're talking to me. And you know what? It comes at inconvenient moments. My children can walk into my office anytime. Anytime. Okay? Anytime. And you know when some of the moments are? Some of them are on Sunday morning. Before I'm getting ready to come in here. And not every Sunday morning is it just, Daddy, I love you, and gives me a kiss. They need to talk. And you want to go, you know, I love you, but I got to go. No. We deal with what we can deal with, and when it's time to go, it's time to go. And you know what? If you guys have to wait, you have to wait. I'm sorry. Because I got to be all there. For you, it's not Sunday morning. It might be when, you know, you got half the engine dismounted from a vehicle and you need it. And maybe it's not big to me or to you, but to the kid who wants a yo-yo, that's a big deal. To the kid who wants to talk to you about cucumbers. By the way, did anybody bring a cucumber to church today? Ruth, I need a big one. I need the biggest cucumber you got because Cole wants one. You brought me that. No, listen, this is important because you brought me that big cucumber. Remember when you walked in a couple weeks? He said, ah, look at that cucumber. You know, it's like this. Oh, it's huge. Cole saw that. And he remembered that, and he come back and talked to me a couple different times. And on Sunday, Wednesday night, thank you, Gail. Wednesday night, I don't know how many times, I cannot count. How many times he came to me and said, it's a cucumber, I want a big one. Like, I said, I don't grow them. But you had it, so, you know, I got to. So when and he ran off, and then he'd run back. Don't forget the cucumber. Now, if you don't have a big one, I'll take a little one. And y'all keep your hands off that big one, and don't give it to Cole. Give it to me, because I'm giving it to Cole. There's something about being present. There's something about God being present to the point that he would take on human form, that he could touch people, that he could speak and they could hear his voice, about people being able to tell their need and Jesus listening and being there and saying, I hear you. You people who are far away, yeah, you got to give them a phone call, and that has an impact. And you send them a text message, and it has an impact. You send them an email, and it has an impact. You post some photos, and it has an impact as you send it to them. But frankly, it's not like being there. You've heard the phrase? I guess you had a Be there. Do you ever tell a story that something funny that happened yesterday? This happens in my home. One of my children will come up to me and they'll say, oh, yesterday. And they'll go on and they're laughing and they're telling what their sister or brother did and what they did together and what so-and-so said. And they're just, ha, ha, ha. And they're telling me, and I'm not humor impaired. But I stood there and I went, oh. Not all the time, but sometimes it's like, what's the big deal? And it's one of those, I guess you had to be there. You had to be present. You tell the story, and sometimes you can get a laugh or you get the person to, they're impacted by it. But it's not like being there and sharing life and sharing the moment together, being present. Yeah, I got to tell you, and this doesn't pertain to you because you guys are here, I don't get online church. Now, I mean, when I say that, I mean, if that's how people do church, you know, I guess that's their choice. I mean, listening to other preachers and doing that kind of stuff, I totally get that. And reading other books and doing that kind of stuff and having an impact. But you know what? Online church, I don't care if it's live and it's a live feed, it's still not the same as being present. And when God does things in this room and you're not here, you can come back and hear about it, but you weren't here. You don't get it. You can hear it. You can think you get it. It may remind you of some other experience, but you know what? It's not like being there. It's not like being here. And God said, these people need help. I'm coming. I'm sending my son. I'm sending myself to them. I'm going to be present. I'm going to give them my attention. He still speaks through people. We know that Jesus was crucified and he ascended, rose from the dead, and he ascended to the Father. And we know that he does not have a body. He is in heaven, but he sent the Holy Spirit. So now that Jesus is spirit, who is his body? We're called the body, right? That his spirit can live in us. His very nature can live in us. And guess what? We got to be present in this world. We got to be present. And yes, I understand the computer, email, photos, the texting, all this stuff is great tools to use for the Lord. I understand that. But you know what? It is not the same as being there for somebody. I appreciate the text, and I appreciate the messages or the congratulations or the condolences or whatever the case may be. But it's not like somebody showing up. It's not like being there. And God has put his spirit within us that we would be present in this world. And being present in this world means sometimes you've got to go see somebody intentionally and look beyond the convenience of a text message or a phone call. Those things are good and we do them and they're right. But our life cannot consist of relationships just sitting back and saying, well, relationship comes to me. I want to tell you something, teenagers, because you're growing up in a different generation, and it's a good generation. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to bring you back to the old days and say, oh, my generation was the best generation, and it was so cool. Dino. That's not what I'm going to tell you. But you are growing up in a culture where you see relationship come to you, because every time you pick up your phone or computer, you got inbox stuff, and relationships coming to you. I'm going to remind you of something that will not change because it's a principle. God sent his son to us. You must initiate and you must go to people beyond your electronics because it's not the same as someone being there for you. I'm telling you because you're growing up underneath this. The message is not different for you than the rest of us because we insulate our lives too. We insulate our lives. And this stuff can insulate our lives. And we just run everything from a control desk. It's wonderful to get a phone call. And sometimes that's the best that people can do. I understand that's the best I can do. I can't be everywhere at once. That is why God's Spirit lives in all of us. You know somebody in the body who's hurting and something's going on. Don't think, the pastor will just take care of that. That is where we all have the Spirit of God within us. Let's go be present. Let's be present. Let's be clued in. So, nothing against Facebook. Nothing against technology and electronics. I use them, and they're fine. This is not a personal vent. This is about a principle. About being present and fully there for people around us. Years ago, we had a walk down or ride the horse down the road to go see somebody. Now, we just punch some letters and hit send. And it goes, to some satellite. Back down here to Earth. Travels a long ways, but it's there like that. And I want you to know that's nice and it's good, but it's not the same as being there for somebody. And all this Facebook stuff, and it says we're friends. Those are not your friends. Some of them might be your friends. But don't get a warped perception about who friends are. Friends are the ones who will lay down whatever and come to you. Those are your friends. Jesus laid down all that he had. Left it. He was safe and secure from all alarm with his Father in heaven and left it all to come. And not come as some king that the world would recognize. He came as a baby. And growing pains and all the difficulties and family relationships and all the different stuff that went on. All the way through a crucifixion. Because he wanted to be present and he wanted to be fully there. We're not to be any different. We are called to be present. Now listen, the next time you send a text or you send an email, listen, this isn't about guilt. These are still appropriate things and they suffice. But I'm going to tell you this. There's still something about being present and being fully there. There's something different about a congratulations text or email. It's different than somebody coming up and taking your hand and saying, congratulations. Way to go. It's different. It's different. Somebody took the effort, took the time, and they were there, and they looked at you in the eye, and they touched you, and they spoke to you. Because you know what communication, most communication that you and I communicate? We talk a lot, but most of our communication is not in words. It's in our face. It's in our expression. And it's in our body language. It's where it is. You can text things and email things, but they never see this when you're sending it. They don't. They don't see it. They don't see you roll your eyes. They don't see you jump around and dance, unless you're on Skype. Like Skype, what's that? Don't forget, that's a whole other thing. It's not the same. We want to let people into our life, so we post a few photos. My wife and kids did it. We got back from vacation, okay? Went away to a modest little privately owned cabin on some little weedy lake. Had a real nice time, laid low. It wasn't resorty. They can catch all kinds of panfish. Had a nice time, nice week, all that. It was very nice, okay? We get back. We pull into the driveway. We unload some things. Some things landed in the kitchen, and my wife took care of some of those immediate things. I was outside unloading the back of my pickup truck. Had the cap on. Good thing, because it was loaded. And unloading this stuff. And I'm just kind of putting it in the garage and putting it here. And I walked into the house. And, I mean, we were only home for a little while. And there was still stuff that was sitting out. But they were already posting their photos from vacation. Because they wanted to share. And it's not a criticism thing. They wanted to share. They wanted to do those. And you know what? It's great. And people can go, oh, it looks fun. Looks nice. What a nice picture. And they can comment on it and all this kind of thing. And it's really neat. And I understand what it's meant to do. But you know what? It's not the same as being there. Now, I'm not inviting all of you to come on our next vacation. Please don't misunderstand. It's not the same as sharing life together, sharing hardship together, and being there for one another. The Lord came to rescue, and He came to be present. You and I, we got to be present. And you can't be present for everybody. We can't. We can't. We have limitations. But you better find out where you're supposed to be present and the moment you're supposed to be present. And you better find out who's important to you. And you better be present for them. We are important to the Lord. You are important to the Lord. I don't care what you've done or where you're from or what has gone on in your life. You are so important to Him that He sent His Son. And you said, yeah, but I wasn't living then and that was then. And listen, what Jesus did, He did as an eternal work. And He sent His Spirit now for all of us. He made a way to be personal with you because He wants to be present. Does a lot for us when we recognize that God wants to be present for us. And when it also does a lot for other people when we discover that we need to be like Him and be present, all there for other people. There's a quote that's made by Brandy Snyder, and I'm going to come close to quoting it because I don't know where my notes are. Brandy Snyder said this, as if in the context that you don't feel very influential or very important. In other words, you're just one person in this world. The context is like, you know, what difference does that make in this whole world just being one person? And she goes on to say this. She says, but to one other person, you could be the whole world. You could be the whole world. You could be the whole world to somebody because you showed up. I remember my daughter Brittany's wedding and Justin, the guy. Who, by the way, I'm so thankful for. I remember their wedding, and people came, you know, and you expect local people to come, whoever can make it, that's fine. There are some people that I saw come from long distances, and it's not like they were just relatives. They were friends from the past. Not her friend. I mean, they knew her, and they liked her, and, you know, remembered when she was this big. But they were our friends. And they went the time and expense to come. I would never expect them to come. And they came. Others sent a card and it was thoughtful and I was grateful. Others sent an email of congratulations and sorry we can't make it. And it's appropriate. You're not disappointed. You're not mad. You're not any of those things. You are grateful. You're thankful that they send their congratulations or whatever. But when somebody walks through the door, and they were there. And they reach out and they hug you. And they touch you. And they speak to you. And they listen to you. And they're focused. The impact it makes. We want the world to be won to the faith of Jesus Christ because he loves them. And there's no way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. That's what the scripture says. And we pray and we hope for that. Well, if we pray and hope for that, then we have to understand the responsibility behind that hope and behind that prayer. And that is that he has got to be present in our life. And we have to be present in this world. This church has to be present in this community. See, this building here is not just about you coming in here. So you can worship and pray and walk out and feel a little challenged and feel a little encouraged and saw a few friends and you go on with the rest of your week. We, the church, the people, need to be present in this community and wherever we live. Some of you I know drive quite a ways to be here. It's about being present. It's about cluing in. It's about being there for the mission of building the kingdom and for the people that you love.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.